You're listening to A Roundabout Chattanooga. I am Michael Edward Miller. Darren Gale joins us today. He's employed by Babcock and Wilcox Nuclear Energy as Vice President of Nuclear Fuels. Darren, you're also part of the Clean Energy America Foundation. That's a national speakers program. I want to ask you, first of all, why nuclear power as clean energy? Why not solar or wind power or water power?
I would tell you that it's all of the above instead of why nuclear versus the others. America is strong in energy because of the diversity that we have for our generation. And for us to continue to have a secure energy structure, we need to remain diverse. Why clean, I guess, is one of the questions that we should be answering, asking ourselves, and reducing particulates in the air, reducing smog, reducing carbon emissions. We need to continuously look at better and better ways to do that. And right now, nuclear provides, over two-thirds of the clean energy that we have right now. So, of course, we have hydro here is a strong part of the state of Tennessee, hydroelectric dams and such. But nuclear is also very strong in Tennessee. And so we need to continue to look at ways to make that even a bigger part of the picture.
And you're part of Clean Energy America. Your organization is sending speakers such as yourself to college campuses and places talking about this. What is Clean Energy America? Why are you doing this? What are y'all getting out of this?
Yeah, essentially, the nuclear industry is helped out by a group called Nuclear Energy Institute. It's a lobbying organization in Washington, D.C. So they look out for the interests of the nuclear industry with policy and legislation in Washington, D.C. And that group is paid for by the utilities and vendors that make up the nuclear industry. And it was an idea several years ago that we needed to get out in front of the public to help educate, demystify what nuclear power is all about. And so this speakers bureau or speakers group was formed. You were either nominated or volunteered to be a part of this. And the companies that we're representing kind of donate our time to take a couple days every other year or something like that for us to visit states such as Tennessee and just get out and talk to people about what nuclear power really is, what is it, how do we make it safer, what we're doing as an industry, and those types of things. So just mostly general information about nuclear energy and kind of how it fits into the energy mix in the United States and the world.
I think one thing that people think of when they think of nuclear energy is, of course, radioactivity. And
right.
I imagine it's got to be hard for people to reconcile the idea of clean with the idea of radioactive materials. How do you do that? How do you call nuclear energy clean when this radioactivity is a part of it?
Right. So, as we design and build nuclear power plants, we, of course, do that to minimize any radiation to the public. And, of course, over the many, many years we've been doing this, we've essentially eliminated the effects of radiation to the public. So we have isolated the plants. There's usually pretty large distances between where the public is spending any time near them. And also the many barriers that you have within the plant sites themselves. So radiation from nuclear power plants exposed to the public is really a pretty insignificant thing. So from a clean standpoint, what we're really end up talking about is the emissions to the environment. So this country has several fossil-fueled power plants. So not only are cars, emitting fossil, emitting carbons, but the power plants such as coal plants, natural gas plants, oil-fired electric generating plants, all are burning something, and they're all emitting carbon compounds into the atmosphere, hurts the ozone layer and other such things. So in that sense, comparing nuclear, which has a zero carbon emission energy process, that's what when we deem clean, that's what we're really referring to, is its impacts on the environment.
I know there is leftover radioactive material in nuclear power, and one thing people are worried about is, what do we do with it? So what do we do with it? How do you safely dispose of that material in the nuclear industry?
Yeah, what we've been doing for many, many years, and we continue to do the same thing, and it's just as safe as the first day we ever did that. And you just, you know, the fuel itself is contained within an assembly, if you will. So there are rodlets that you put the fuel inside, and that remains what the fuel is encased in as we continue to store it at the site. So once it's used in the reactor for fueling purposes, then we'll take it out. We store it in a pool of water for a few years, 10 to 15 years. Once it's gone through that stage or that process, the decay heat that's involved with these fuel assemblies is low enough that you can then take it out of the water and just store it in a cask, if you will, and then safely store it at the site. So we, many, many years ago, as the industry was developing, the government had planned to have a long-term site to store this used fuel. And the utilities, each and every one of them that had a nuclear power plant, was taking some of the money from, you know, the cost, adding to the cost, and putting that money aside for the government to be doing that. And the government hasn't done that yet. You know, we don't have a national repository site. So you'll see a lot of discussions between the utilities and the government themselves about, you know, trying to find that. So it's actually adding a burden to the utilities who are operating plants now to continue to store these assemblies at their site. But it is certainly safe. It's not an issue of safety or not. It's just an issue of cost to the utility that they're continuing to have to do that. But they've been safely stored, these used assemblies, at the sites. We will continue to do that until there is a national depository. So it's just more of a hindrance for the utility now as opposed to any security or safety issue.
I imagine the meltdowns in Japan a couple of years ago had to make your job more difficult in convincing people that nuclear power is safe. The Fukushima incident a couple of years ago, how has that affected what you and Clean Energy America are doing?
So the national polls, if you will, surveys that were taken, did see a drop, you know, somewhat of a drop in the support of nuclear power, but still we're significantly above. Greater than 50% of Americans that still support nuclear power. We, in this country, continuously monitor all events, relating to the nuclear industry, and we are continuously looking at ways to improve the safety and improve the efficient operations of our plants. So we're certainly taking what happened in Japan and learning from it and improving our own safety at our plants. We don't have the same situation at the plants we have in the United States is that they had at Japan, with these plants sitting right on the coast, with a high susceptibility to, you know, a large tsunami wave causing that kind of destruction at the plant site itself. But we are certainly looking at it, and we're looking at our plants right now and seeing what else we might be able to do to improve the safety at our plants. So we've our plants in this country continue to operate at a greater than 90% efficiency. We've not had significant safety incidents in this country for many, many years. And it's the reason is that we help each other. We compare notes. We share operating experiences. And we're always, always looking to improve how we run these plants.
Do you think that nuclear energy is actually cost effective? Because I know that, for example, the Fukushima incident gave us here in the Chattanooga area an additional $300 million of cost at Watts Bar. They had to do safety upgrades because of what happened in Japan. So that's, you know, an unexpected $300 million cost right there. Seems like nuclear power is very, very expensive.
Yeah. The plants that are operating right now in the United States are, you know, again, they're a very cost-effective way to produce electricity because those plants have all their cost, the original cost to build those plants, have all been depreciated. So the driver for nuclear power plants is the capital cost up front to build them because it dwarfs the fuel cost that it takes to run these plants. So once you depreciated the value of that plant over the 20, 30 years, then it becomes a very, very cost-effective way to produce electricity. So even with an investment like that, $300 million, nuclear power plants that have been running, they're the most cost-effective way to produce electricity that we have right now. Now, building a new plant where you haven't depreciated that cost, it's a different story. I mean, we need to continue to look at ways to shorten the construction cycles, improve the improve the time it takes to weld and fit the plants together when we are building them, and try and reduce as much as we can that upfront cost. When you compare that to a coal-fired plant or an oil plant or natural gas, the fuel cost for that type of a power plant is what drives its cost. So as opposed to a nuclear plant and the capital cost. So the volatility of the fuel price is what, the risk that the utilities have in having plants like that. Fuel costs for nuclear are very constant. So here and there, making an investment in these existing power plants, yeah, it's something you'd rather not do, but in comparison with the other plants, it's still, nuclear is a very cost-effective way to run, to generate electricity.
And you were talking about the idea of having a repository where we could store the leftover radioactive material from the nuclear process, but you said there isn't one yet. I imagine that's got to be one of the biggest challenges, is just finding a place in America where people would allow that in their backyards, basically.
Right. The Yucca Mountain site in Nevada is a viable place to do it. The government's done a lot of research in that area. It came down to some political issues with that in kind of stopping any further research on that. We have other sites in the United States, in New Mexico and South Carolina, where we're storing nuclear byproducts, nuclear waste. And so we'll solve the problem. It's really getting over the political hurdles is the big thing at this point. So there's a lot of smart scientists and engineers that are working the problem, and eventually we'll get there.
Do you think that is going to be the long-term solution, is just literally burying it somewhere? I've heard like some suggestions of shooting it off into space, sending it literally into the sun so it would just, explode in the sun and be done with.
There are lots of things that we could do with it. Engineers, again, are contemplating, a myriad of different ways. The issue at this point is that there is still usable fuel, usable energy in these used assemblies. It's very costly to get that out right now, and there's not a economical reason to do it. So storing it for a long term could always leave it in a way that we could eventually use some of that fuel that's still left in these assemblies. So I think the practical thing to do at this point in time is to find a place and just set it aside for a while until we did want to recycle that fuel.
You're going around to college campuses like here at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga or UT in Knoxville. What kind of questions, what kind of reactions are you getting from students that you're talking to?
It's been very positive. They're all, we have in the state of Tennessee a new effort ongoing with small modular reactors, and they're all very excited about that. I've been speaking to engineering students, and engineering students are always excited about new developments, new progress in the industry. And they've been very positive about nuclear power. They've asked the same types of questions about the waste and about the fuel and things like that. So they're inquisitive and supportive of nuclear power.
Well, Darren Gale, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Have a good day.